This podcast is brought to you in part by Boomer Naturals reusable face masks, now in stock for adults and children. Go to HowieCarShow.com and click on the Boomer Naturals banner at the top of the page to order your face masks today. Use promo code HowieCar20 at checkout to save 20%.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
He just said, "Hey, come here, Tara." And then we were alone, and it was the strangest thing. He just had me up against the wall, and it happened all at once. His hands were on me and underneath my clothes. Yeah, and then he went, "Oh."
A clip from Larry King Live features a call from a woman Reed tells reporters is her mother.
"My daughter has just left there after working for a prominent senator and could not get through with her problems at all."
"I looked up to him. He was like my father's age. He was this champion of women's rights in my eyes."
"Come on, man."
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
The Republican leader, Mr. McCarthy, has assured me.
What was that name again?
Mr. McCarthy. My own governor, Garrett.
Today, Junior?
Was this a tactical mistake by you and Senator Schumer?
"Just calm down. We will have state and local, and we will have it in a very significant way."
"There's nothing good about what you do or who you are."
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
We are continuing to see what I would call a plateau with respect to our hospitalization rates. And we believe that it's important for us to create some clarity around this issue with respect to May 4th, and you'll hear from us later on this week on that.
Well, why are you waiting?
Good question.
Unchained and unstoppable.
Post me on social media. You're the idiot doing the wrong thing. I'm just trying to save your ass and save your life. But die, okay? I hope both of you get the coronavirus. I hope you both die a long, painful death.
You are the worst person I know.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. I just got a text from 603. Sent an email to Governor Sununu, the governor of New Hampshire, with the question, "The reason you gave for the lockdown was to flatten the curve so hospitals are not overwhelmed. As hospital workers are now being laid off in New Hampshire, hundreds of them, by the way, are we there yet?" That's a really, really good question. 844-500-4242. You know, somebody says, "Do you really think he could be right? Joe D could be right about a mole? That would be awesome." Well, somebody's leaking to the Federalist and to the Daily Caller from the FBI, and I thought it was interesting that after the story was leaked that supposedly Sugar Ray, the director of the FBI, and Dana Buente, his legal counsel, were trying to stop the release of these exculpatory documents. How classic is this? It's like going back to the FBI framing the four guys in Boston and Mueller trying to stop the release of the exculpatory evidence. This history repeats itself over and over again. But anyway, the FBI then issued a denial. They said Sugar Ray has not tried to stop the release of the documents. They didn't say anything about Biante, the legal counsel. So they're obviously going to throw him under the bus. One last thing. 207 says, "You've got to check out this Dr. Erickson on YouTube. This is a California emergency room physician. My wife is a nurse working in a hospital, and she says this is the real deal. No models or projections, just the facts and real numbers." Yeah, it's on YouTube. The mailroom manager watched the whole thing, and Grace is going to watch the whole thing. We'll try to get some cuts on the show tomorrow about it, and maybe we'll try to get Dr. Erickson on. He's in the emergency room, and he just says this is not necessary. And so all the reporters are getting the vapors, and they're going, "Oh, but what about Dr. Fauci?" And he says, "Dr. Fauci's okay. He's an immunologist, but he's a bureaucrat. He's not in the trenches. He doesn't see what's going on day to day. He's getting reports. He's getting briefings. He's a beltway guy. You know, like all these FBI agents that have never made a pinch, you know? And so Dr. Erickson is really impressive, but we'll get him. We'll definitely get some sound cuts, and we'll try to get him on the show. He's from California. And you can check him out, Dr. Erickson, on YouTube tonight if you're looking for something to do when you're, you know, as you wait for the Netflix Mucho Mama piece to be released next week. Time now for the Chump Line.
Hey, this is Joe Biden. I can't take a donation from Louis C.K., Casey, and the Sunshine Band. You know the thing. It's a rookie move. Come on, man.
Hey, shake your booty, Joe. Shake your booty.
Hey, Howie. Governor Patrick calling. With all these economic problems from the virus, I feel really bad for the movie business. It hasn't been this bad since your box office bombs cleared out of the theaters. We're going to be fine.
A Civil Action topped the box office way back when. Its first weekend. Of course, it was a kind of an off week for movies. $15 million. That wasn't big even back then. But what can I say? It was number one. I still get my checks. Okay, so they're only for $1.32. But they're checks, royalty checks. The Chump Line is brought to you by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer. During the national mitigation, we have been fortunate enough to be able to supply our wicked awesome windows and doors to the ongoing process of infrastructure maintenance and construction, including affordable housing projects. In fact, we are now actively hiring, so yes, we're optimistic about our country's recovery.
Howie, if we the people chose who was non-essential, the government would be furloughed and we'd be back to work.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, I think if they had to start laying off Charlie Baker's political appointees, all the hacks that he's given judgeships and clerk magistrates jobs to, and all the hacks at UMass and Massport and the Registry of Motor Vehicles and at the State House, the state would be open yesterday.
Welcome to the Hotel Charlie Baker. You can check out anytime you want, but you can never leave.
You know what? Guess what? He's going to be leaving in January 2023. This is not a ticket to his reelection. Some people may be able to survive because they're trying to do the right thing, just shutting down the state for the glory of your daily soap opera at the State House. This is not a ticket to a third term, Governor Charlie Parker Tall Duvall.
I just wanted to tell Howie, this is Lee calling, that he is the best dressed guy on TV. He knows how to coordinate all his colors, his ties, his shirts.
10-4, Lee. 10-4. Thank you very much. When am I going to make the 10 best dressed list in America?
Governor Baker says the COVID test is wrong a third of the time. That's funny. So is he.
Check out the graphs for the COVID-19 death rates in Massachusetts by age groups. They post them. It's Tal Duvall's own numbers. Check them out. They're kind of hard to find on the dashboard, but we're tweeting them out every day now. Go to at Howie Carr Show, and you can find the list. And we're going to post them every day. And I just don't know why aren't these charts on the front page of the Boston Globe?
Come on, man! Tell Louis C.K. I'll have more flexibility to take that money after the election.
Yeah, you'll have more. Bill Clinton had more flexibility, too, with Monica Lewinsky, didn't he, after the 1996 election?
And where does Michael Flynn go to get his reputation and his money back?
Yeah. I think his reputation is pretty much back among people who follow it. But money is another thing. I mean, I would hope that, like Carter Page, he would sue the bleep out of the United States government for doing this to him. I mean, it would not be a frivolous lawsuit.
When you were on the radio with Joe DeGeneva, you mentioned Maria Bartiromo like three times. You can't get over her ever since you saw her wearing that red dress.
That's true. But she's doing a damn good job on this story. She has Devin Nunes on almost as her co-host on Sunday mornings now. And he tells her a lot about what's going on. But I think she has other sources other than Devin Nunes. So as long as I can try to stay in her good graces, I just can't believe I haven't been on her show for like 5 or 10 years. I'm so sad about that. I'd get up at 6 o'clock, go across the bridge.
I got a message for Nancy Pelosi. You sell your mansion, your refrigerator, and your ice cream, and you fund the Who. You don't take it out of my tax money.
That was a caller that was sent by Mitch McCarthy. Or was it the governor Pat Brown? Oh no, his son, Jerry Brown, is the guy. Oh, he's not the governor anymore? Who's the governor? That one that married the Kennedy girl?
That was your last chump line message. Thank you for calling Howie Carr, you chump.
You get to be 100 years old, it's hard to remember all the governors in your home state, you know, over the years. There's like got to be 15, 20 of them since she was born. All right. That's it for the Chump Line. The Chump Line is the recorded voicemail message service of the Howie Carr Show. You can call and leave a message at any hour of the day or night, including weekends. The Chump Line number, if you'd like to leave such a message, is 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. Press 2 for the Chump Line. Leave your message. We may or may not play it at this time each weekday. The Chump Line is brought to you by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer. During the national mitigation, we have been fortunate enough to be able to supply our wicked awesome windows and doors to the ongoing process of infrastructure maintenance and construction, including affordable housing projects. In fact, we are now actively hiring. So, yes, we're optimistic about our country's recovery.
Welcome to the Hotel Charlie Baker. You can check out anytime you want, but you can never leave.
And you can't play golf either. And if you have a summer cottage in Salisbury Beach, you can't get the water turned on. I'm Howie Carr.
He didn't come here to be made sport of. Howie Carr.
This is Lynn in sunny Las Vegas.
This is Dan from the Moonbat capital of Jamaica Plain.
This is Gigi in Leominster, Massachusetts, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
With all the uncertainty in the world, feeling safe at home has never been more important. That's why you need Simply Safe Home Security for just 50 cents a day. Head to simplysafehowie.com and get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. Jared, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Should the president be cutting back on his daily press briefings?
Yes, I think he should, but he's not. He'll be out momentarily if he's not already out there. Yes. Yes, he should.
76% of the audience say yes, he should.
Okay. Right before the top of the hour, we spoke to Cindy, and she's a volunteer in a nursing home, and she wanted to tell us what it's like there. Thanks for holding on, Cindy. We appreciate it, and you're back on the line with us. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. What I wanted to say is, you know, I've been listening to Cuomo and all that about the poor nursing home patients and the elders and all that, but in the nursing homes, these people, some of them aren't even terminally ill, and they bring hospice in, and they give them morphine when their care becomes more than what they really. I don't know how to explain it, but they're not terminally ill, and they give them the morphine, and they do it through hospice, and they're not terminally ill, and within 7 days, they're dead. So I just wonder, I don't trust any kind of things coming out of nursing homes, And I just wonder, you know, what they put on their death certificates, you know.
Right.
So, and I've gone, I've done a lot of, I've seen a lot, and I don't think people realize what they're doing to our old people, not because of the coronavirus, it's because of what they're doing through hospice and putting them on morphine.
That's another thing Dr. Erickson said, the California emergency room physician who had this press conference, just to sort of lay out the facts as he saw them. He said he talked about the fact that they're you know, being told to list all these deaths as being coronavirus related. I told you, Ventura County, California, they admitted a young person, 37 years old, died of a drug overdose, and they listed it as coronavirus. Pennsylvania just got busted last week. They were putting all these deaths in just randomly as a coronavirus, and the coroners, the county coroners, called them out on it, and they had to remove more than two. They put suddenly it jumped one day to day more than 200 names, and then 2 days later, after the coroners, called BS on it, they cut the list of coronavirus victims by the same 200. I mean, this is just. You know, we have no idea. You know, they keep talking about you can't trust China's numbers. I'm not really sure how much you can trust the numbers in many of the states. I mean, some of the states are legit, but not all of them, I don't think. There's every indication they're not legit. Thanks for the call, Cindy. I appreciate it, and thanks for hanging on. John, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, John.
Hi, Howie.
Hi.
So, Howie, this is nothing more than a deep state conspiracy to crash the economy, stop President Trump from getting reelected, and push for mail-in votes in November. So, I think
they're never letting a crisis go to waste. I don't think I'm not sure they planned it this way, but they certainly do want to get mail-in voting. I mean, if they get mail-in voting, there never will be another Republican president. I mean, that's just it. Yeah, I read some story from somebody who was in Oregon, and Oregon got mail-in voting, and they said that was the end of the Republicans in Oregon. Look what happened in Orange County. It used to be a very Republican county in Southern California, and they started having the voter harvesting, and the Republicans, I think, lost three or four congressional elections. Some of them they'd won, three or four they'd won on election night, and then they harvested all the ballots from the nursing homes, and they lost. And then they want ranked choice voting too, like they had in Maine, which cost the one Republican in New England, Bruce Pollock, won his seat, even though he won the election by 2,000 votes. Then they went to ranked choice voting, and they kept counting and counting until, as Johnny Rocco said in Key Largo, the votes turned out right for the Democrat. It's all a fraud. I don't know that it's a conspiracy, but they're trying to use it to defeat Donald Trump. I mean, is there any question about that? I mean, the people who are rabidly wanting to continue this lockdown, which doesn't really seem to be having the great impact that they said it would, and it was only supposed to be for a week or 2 weeks. Now it's how many weeks is it that's gone on? 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. As you know, the second phase of the Paycheck Protection Program, PPP, is now kicking in. There's more money has been appropriated by Congress. President Trump signed the legislation last Friday, and so the money's in the pipeline. So joining us now on the news line is Monica Crowley. She's the Assistant Secretary of the Treasury. Monica, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Hi, Howie. Great to be with you. Longtime fan of yours, so it's a joy.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So, we have a lot of questions, and I'm going to ask the texters if they have questions about this as well. And, how is this? First of all, we had the editor of the Free Beacon on earlier, and she talked about this $5 million grant to Axios, the left-wing website, that their sponsors include billionaires like Steve Jobs' widows. I mean, is the Treasury going to try to claw that money back, or how does that work? How many Axioses are getting money? I know Ruth's Chris and Shake Shack gave the money back. Is Axios going to give the money back, do you think?
Well, I don't know. You're going to have to ask Axios about that. When the Paycheck Protection Program was put into place, there were certain guardrails and a lot of guidance that was provided to small businesses, to lenders, to borrowers about who was eligible and who was not. Now, over the last two or three weeks since the program has been in place, Howie, that set of guidance has been updated. There have been new sets of FAQs that have been put up, et cetera, to give people more of a clear guidance on who is eligible and who is not. I noticed that today the Los Angeles Lakers, who also applied under the program, gave back $4.6 million.
Right.
And Potbelly restaurants gave back $10 million. These are not, the idea that you can do something doesn't mean that you should. And so in many of these cases, because of franchises and our affiliate rules, et cetera, they believe that they were eligible. In some cases, they probably were under the old guidelines. But we have put new guidelines into place so that it's only small businesses that have demonstrable harm inflicted because of the COVID-19 pandemic that have to certify in this process that they have X number of employees, certify their payroll, et cetera. Only those businesses are the ones who are eligible for these forgivable loans.
Now, let me ask you about another. This was a story from Washington State about a woman that had two spas, and she got money, and she called her staff. She put them on a conference call and said, guess what? You can go back on the payroll. And she said they were all angry because these 34 workers, it was a firestorm of hatred about the situation because lower wage workers have the possibility to come out ahead under unemployment. Is this a one-off? I doubt it's a one-off, is it? I mean, there's four Republican senators warned that this was going to happen, that people would rather lower paid workers would not want to come back to work.
Yes. So all of these deals are, everything in politics is the art of the possible. And when this crisis first hit, there was always the tension between moving fast and getting it totally right. And of course, there were trade-offs that had to be made. And I did see a number of Republican senators, Marco Rubio and others, expressing grave concerns about this. But the point was that we needed to move on all of this really fast to get resources to American workers and especially small businesses, get the resources that they needed fast. So yeah, there were some trade-offs that were made, but the trade-off was that we were able to get, in the first tranche, $350 billion pushed out in record time. By the way, Howie, the SBA, the Small Business Administration, processed 14 years worth of loans in 14 days in the first tranche. And we've resumed processing loans as of 10:30 Eastern this morning. And there have already been a massive number of small business loans that have already been pending over the last week and a half while we were waiting for this legislation. They're now all being processed as well. So it is, I think what's getting lost is that this is a completely unprecedented situation where the government has literally ordered the shutdown of the American economy. The president, the vice president, my boss, the secretary of the treasury, everybody is sort of feeling their way because they can't call a predecessor and say, hey, what did you do in the last pandemic? There are no ground rules here. So yes, of course, when you're launching big programs like this, there are going to be issues that arise, either technical issues or issues like you just discussed with unemployment insurance. But I think when you take a step back and look at the bigger picture, the fact that we've been able to stand up these programs in record time and get small businesses the money that they need and get American individuals the money that they need through these economic impact payments, it is quite an astonishing achievement.
So, one of my texters from Western Mass says the SBA.gov, the website, crashed in minutes today. Is that true?
I mean, no, it's that is not accurate. So the lenders who are, and we have about 5,000 lenders processing these loans, they use a system called ETRAN, and it's basically electronic loan processing. And that system is slower today because we literally have double the number of users than we did in the first tranche of processing these loans. So it's simply the volume. So many lenders are trying to access this system that it's slowing it down. But we put a pacing mechanism in place over the weekend that prevents any one lender from submitting thousands of loans an hour into that system. If the lender goes above the pacing limit, they'll get timed out. So we just asked for patience. It did not crash. It's simply slow because it's we've got this unprecedented demand going on for these resources.
I got another text from somebody down on the Cape. His brother owns a restaurant, and a couple of years ago, he used a lot of Filipino restaurants, summer restaurant. And the H-2B workers, and last year the workers couldn't get in because the president changed the regulations to give more jobs to Americans. And so he said his brother's workers that are in the Philippines, they haven't been in the U.S. for almost 2 years now, they're getting checks. Is that possible?
So I know that the IRS is working on this very issue as we speak, and I know that there's an issue being under discussion about foreign nationals or those that have worked. That's more of a question for the IRS than it is for Treasury, but I can tell you that they're looking into this.
Will they have to pay taxes? That's what's bothering a lot of people, or they're just foreigners are just getting money and they're not even have to pay taxes on it.
No. I think, and again, this is an IRS question versus a Treasury Department specific question, but I think if they worked here and they were 1099 workers, I think, well, let me just say that the IRS is working on this literally today as we speak, and I'll have more clarity for you the next time we talk.
Okay. I had no idea until I got this text that the money was going out to foreign workers. So what do you tell people who were expecting to automatically get the money a couple of weeks ago, and they still haven't gotten the money yet? What advice do you have for them?
So I would contact your lender here because the Treasury stood up these programs, and then it's up to the lenders to make sure that they dole out the money the way they are supposed to. So Small Business Administration is processing the loans. The money is there thanks to all of the liquidity that the government has now provided to these lenders. So if the lenders are slow walking, I would suggest that you reach back out to them, especially if you have a pre-existing relationship with them, and find out what the story is, because they should not be holding back any loans. I know we've got this unprecedented demand, and people are trying to move as fast as they can, but these loans the money should be dispersed relatively quickly. So if weeks are going by and you still don't have your funds, reach back out to your lender and find out what's going on.
You know, Monica, we're talking to Monica Crowley. She's the assistant to the Secretary of the Treasury. Monica, I keep reading these stories about how they're saying these loans in some cases could be forgiven. So, what does that mean, forgiven? Is this just free money that's being given to the LA Lakers? Although I know they turned it down now, but how does the money get paid back? And under what circumstances do you not have to pay it back?
So, if you, regardless of the size of the business, these loans are only forgiven if they're used to keep and pay employees. The breakdown of the loan is, according to the law, 75% of the amount of money that you get in this loan must go to your payroll. This is called the Paycheck Protection Program. So this is about protecting paychecks and jobs in American workers. So 75% of the money that you get must go to payroll in order for the loan to be forgiven. 25% can go to certain overhead, like rent and utilities. That's it. If you go astray, this loan then will not become forgivable. But if you keep it to keep your people on the books, your employees on the books, and also that certain overhead, then that loan will be forgiven. So in essence, it really is free money. This is about trying to protect these small businesses so that when in your state, when the businesses start to reopen, based on a governor's assessment of what is going on county by county or statewide, then that small business, we're trying to prepare these businesses for reopening and being able to hit the ground running as well as possible.
So if you lay off anybody, the loan won't be forgiven, or can you lay off a certain percentage?
No, you got to keep your payroll relatively intact in order for the loan to be
How relatively?
you got to keep your payroll intact.
All right. So let's see. 207 says, I had a coworker who was making $500 a week. Now he's making $1,080 a week on unemployment. So he's making double what I'm making. And I can hear this. I mean, I'm not coming down on you, Monica. Something had to be done. But it seems like this is something that's fairly widespread.
The unemployment insurance, yeah. And I do know that that was a point of concern before the first CARES Act was signed into law. And I know there was a lot of conversation and a lot of bipartisan wrangling on this issue. But again, they needed to make a judgment and make it fast. And that's the judgment that we made. I would also point out, though, Howie, that we are talking about a temporary period of time. So like PPP is for 8 weeks. And all of these programs will have to be unwound at some point. So we're not looking at a permanent situation here, either for the general economy, specific businesses or specific loans or specific amount of time for unemployment insurance. These are temporary measures to make sure that workers and businesses get the money that they need to get through this temporary but very challenging time.
All right, Monica Crowley, Assistant Treasury Secretary, we really appreciate you being with us. And give our best to Kalen Dorr. He's one of your employees. He's a friend of my daughter, Charlotte's, and I met him in Washington. He's a good guy. And I know you guys are working really hard to try to get this this economy back on track. We really appreciate you being with us. Hope you'll be with us again sometime soon.
I so appreciate it, Howie. Thank you so much. All the best to you and everyone listening.
Thank you. That's Monica Crowley, the Assistant Treasury Secretary. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
The Howie Carr Show.
This is Jay in Hingham, Massachusetts.
This is Gloria from Haverhill, Mass.
Hi, this is Joe from Howie in the Hills, Florida. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. You know, people are saying, watch out, Grace. Howie's looking for free money. I am not applying for this. I thought about it. But then I thought about all the red tape, and I thought about all the documents you have to turn over to the government and the strings that were attached, and I just didn't figure I was going to get enough to make it worthwhile.
I don't know. Like the part about 75% of the loan goes to the employees. That sounded pretty enticing.
Have you taken a pay cut since this started, Taylor? And that answers my question. So you got no gripes from me. 844-500-4242. Pat, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Pat.
Hi, Howie. I'm calling because I'm not sure if you know. I haven't listened to you every minute. But the U.S. government back in April 3rd had already promised to pay hospitals all expenses for any uninsured who had died because of COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
How many deaths are we buying
right
with the federal money?
I know, you're right. A couple of texters have mentioned that, and that they're saying that may be part of what's going on here in across the country. It's not just related to one state where there are a lot of infections like like New York or New Jersey or Massachusetts. This is happening across the country, that all these deaths are being listed as COVID-19 related. No, I think you're absolutely right, Pat, that's what's going on. That there's, you know, when you have these kinds of pots of money, I mean, you're going to get people scamming. And again, you know, like graft, there's legal graft and illegal graft. There's legal scamming and illegal scamming. You know, so is Ventura County, California, counting the drug overdose as a COVID-19 death? Are they going to get away with it? Probably. I mean, if they can produce autopsy results that this guy was COVID-19 positive. But then that raises another question. They're testing this guy for COVID-19. Why don't they test people who are still alive? I mean, we keep hearing about how there's all these shortage of tests. Why? They're testing people after death to get some extra dough? Is that what it's all about? Thanks for the call, Pat. That's a good point. George, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, George.
Afternoon, Howie. Thanks for taking the call. I had a question for you. This payroll protection plan, the first tranche was $350 billion, and they paid a flat percentage in fees to the underwriters or originators of those loans.
Right.
A lot of those loans have been returned or declined. Okay. What happens to the fee money? Have they been paid it? Are the banks giving that back?
See, this is another question. I mean, supposedly Congress has all these watchdog groups. Do you think Congress is going to try to track these people down? I rather doubt
it. Well, it's their group of banks that they've given the responsibility for this. That's why they didn't handle it through finance or the IRS or through the Treasury. They gave it to the independent banks that have relationships with the people that are applying.
Right.
They agreed to pay them 8% in fees to underwrite and originate the loans. There's been no discussion. I can't find an answer of what's coming back.
That's another excellent question, George, and I don't know the answer to it, but I wouldn't hold my breath getting any of that money back, in spite of all the quote-unquote watchdogs and inspector generals that we have in the federal bureaucracy. Thanks for the call, George. Russ, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Russ.
You know, Howie, without a shadow of a doubt, a patient in a nursing home or a hospital is much better off with an advocate. Anyone who thinks otherwise is naive. Denying a family member in a nursing home or a hospital is outrageous. They can give them masks. They can give them booties. They can give them alcohol wipes to wipe their face, their hands. And
Russ, though, don't you think the nursing homes are just worried about their liability? That's at least as much of an issue as safety. You know, they're worried about being sued by somebody else comes down with it and they say, well, so-and-so's relative was in here, shouldn't have been in here, and you know, now I'm going to sue you for $10 million. I think that's it.